You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome one and all to our worship service today, the first Sunday in Lent. Sundays in Lent are not part of the season like they are in Advent, but in Lent. And it's appropriate that we go where we are today. The first place after Jesus steps out of the river is into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. To that end, and mindful of the purpose of the day, we call your attention to the fact that we will be using Divine Service Setting 4, page 203, without the Alleluias. Hopefully I'll remember. And the hymns for the occasion are 418, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. Fitly, A Mighty Fortress, hymn 657. And during the distribution, 621, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. It's the hymn of the month. And your annotations are included in your order of worship. 521, Christ the Lord of Hosts Unshaken. 544, O Love, How Deep. And we will conclude with 424, O Christ, You Walk the Road. The sermon theme today is terribly complicated. Bait, our first hymn.
Thank you.
please rise. Divine Service, setting 4, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We direct you to the yellow insert and our introit for today. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading comes to us by way of one of the letters of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, where we read as follows. This is the way things should have been. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the fruit, first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite, and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. Join in the gradual. Holy Epistle from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. The word is near you, in your mouth and on your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise out of respect for the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone.'" The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "Today I will give you all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please remain standing for the sermon hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus left the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. A lot of trilogy words there. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Boy, do we need it. And from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who made that prayer possible. Amen. Title was, I Lost My Soul. Of course that's going to catch a pastor's attention. Why wouldn't it? Turns out, and I need to say this at the beginning, that this story was one of genuine redemption with a capital R, the kind we get in Jesus Christ. But getting to that redemption took the reader down a really crooked and twisted trail. The narrative came with a picture. The interviewer is actually, as you're looking at it, over here. And the interviewee was over here, a young woman in her late 20s or early 30s. Unpacking her story, she said she had left the adult film industry to take up, and for want of better words, let's call it another form of employment in New York City. For her pricey services rendered in 1 month, how many? She had made the sum of $150,000. In the interview, she repeated that, $150,000, capital B, capital U, capital T. But I lost my soul. The article didn't detail her coming to the faith in Jesus Christ, whether she was a newbie to the faith or perhaps there were some shadows that had been dusted off. An array of light actually came down through the tunnel of her life into that moment and intercepted her, but that's why she was there for the interview. This was a lost and truly found case. Mary Magdalene could identify with that. So would King David and a whole host of other major and minor biblical players as they cross the pages of the scriptures and come to us. Yeah, I was lost, but now I am found. And the thing about being found is you didn't do it. Somebody had to snatch you from wherever it was to bring you to where you are right now. What she was telling us was that this was her own prodigal homecoming. She came crawling back to her Creator and her Savior on her belly in the certainty that she would be accepted by Him. And she was a living witness. And she would say so to that passage that says, what does it profit a man, or for that matter a woman or child, to gain the whole world but forfeit, lose their own soul? Your soul is your humanity, your value and worth, your dignity is a precious personal creation of God your Father. Your soul is where you relate to God Himself. Your soul is that place He and He alone can fill as the Creator. Anything else is an idol, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to take us there because that's the nature of the text. The place He's supposed to fill is that soul. You lose that and you lose everything now, and I say this, just wait. The other shoe will drop for all eternity. That's the way it works. The monkey wrench in daily living this side of Eden is temptation. And temptation is about choices. And I'm not talking about first article stuff necessarily, although it can be, as we see in our text, about what you plan to eat for supper, lasagna, pasta, or steak, or whatever, veggies, or what color car you're going to buy, or what kind of clothes you're going to wear, as long as it's seasonable. That's not what we're talking about. Soul-eating temptation involves choices that go deep, morally deep, in that place where we have the unfortunate opportunity this side of Eden to choose who we will worship and what will be our God and the path we will walk. Just ask that young woman. James wrote of that this way. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And listen to the process. When desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, develops, brings on death. That's the kind of death where you forfeit your soul, and perhaps not all at once, maybe even more than likely not all at once, but death comes by a thousand cuts, satanic cuts. Clearly, it won't seem like it. Consider the soul of that young woman who once said to me, how, and I quote, could something that feels so good be so bad? Listen to those words. How could something that feels so good be so bad? But therein lies the heart of the problem. The self-inflicting fatal wound when one yields to temptation and gets sucked up into life-sucking sin. After all, I mean, really, think about it. How many people, when they're being tempted, stop in their tracks to ask, is this honest to God good for me? For that matter, who's deciding what's good for me right now? Is this beneficial, wholesome, the kind of good that gets me closer to God as my Father and His will for my life as Creator? Or you may think, genuinely believe that you're into something good, good in your eyes, good the way you see things. You sort through the things you think would be good, just the thing you need, and you go for that in life. In fact, it's life-consuming if you let it go from temptation into bald-faced sin. Now, what you may or might may not discover before it's too late is that you've only been played the fool by the most expert liar and killer of souls the world has ever seen. The devil as deceiver, and Satan as the one who accuses you before God and in turn accuses God before you. You don't want that piece of garbage. They're no good, God. And turns around and you don't want him as your father. After all, you're not worth it. You're worthless. Nobody can redeem you. That's the way Satan plays that game, by the way. Some of you may know that all too well. I don't know. I won't go there. But that's our own old evil foe. Sin gives birth to death. Death kills the soul first. Now, and I love this part. Satan is playing to that thing that we all have, even with Jesus. It's called imagination. Temptation involves imagination, creating your own fantasy world where you imagine your personal world would be better off if only you had this thing or that person or whatever it would be decorating your life. The usual and customary hinge, of course, lies in that two-letter word, if. That's why I dragged it out in the reading. It's the tempting if. It does the thing that Satan did with Eve. It starts to cast doubt. Is this really the case? What if it's something else? And what that does is it drags you into the devil's playground. The kicker is that you willingly, freely go in playing around, fooling around with it, even if it is as much as $150,000. Now, the old evil fool knows us inside and out. No, he can't read your brain, but he works like Google. How many of you discovered that Google knows what you were looking at last, how often you looked at something, and what you ordered from Amazon? And it reminds you of that, right? It comes back, and we might want to consider. That's how Satan knows us. He follows the trace evidence in our lives. And he does it this way. The devil offers you something good if only you do something bad. Now, that depends on that little word good, and good to who, and good in whose eyes, doesn't it? He didn't create that thing that seems so good in your eyes or mine. You, me, we did that all by ourselves. We decided that this thing would be good for you, and you went for it. But the capital I, capital T, it was a setup, demonically and cleverly devised. Now, anybody who has gone fishing or set a mouse trap or a rat trap or even certain kinds of hunting requiring bait understands that immediately. The bait, the temptation, the presentation, and the offer is deliberate. The critter is attracted by food or motion or color, but in the end, inside of all of that, there's a hook, and it's a fatal attraction. The jaws snap, only to discover too late that it was a bait and switch all along. The bait is something so appealing that it brought on the switch, and your imagination has falsified the true God in your fantasy world. That is bald-face idolatry. An idol is a false god you are willing to kill your soul for. It's really that simple. How many people have lost their soul in the boneyard of temptation and subsequent sin is anybody's guess, but I'll bet you it gets to be almost countless as you count the human history of humanity. It's got to be a terrible body count. And I pray today that you, me, we are not one of those sold out corpses in that boneyard of temptation and sin. Does that sound bad? Can I make it worse? Because it does get worse biblically. I'll put it this way. The temptation game is rigged from the outset. The once beautiful thing, our original human nature, is poisoned. And somebody once summarized human nature this side of Eden using Paul's words to talk about it. Why is it everything I like is illegal, immoral, or fattening? I think we get that. We're already given over to follow what we like. You came into this world as I did with the cold, clammy fingers of our parents' first sin wrapped around your genes and mine. The word for that in the Bible is bondage, sold out in slavery to sin. You are born a slave of sin and its effects. Your natural affections are, for want of better words, hell-bent. That sound right? It does fit the scriptures. From the get-go, St. John put that this way. Don't fall in love with the world or the things of the world. For all that is in the world, and the ESV uses the word desires, but I think I prefer the King James at this point because it gets to a little more of the moral hook of it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that's not from the Father, John says, but it is from the world. And if that sounds familiar, and you've been reading Genesis, it should, because that's nothing more than a summary of the way Satan came at Eve there in the garden originally. All she did was to turn a deaf ear to the word of God. At that word, did God really say? That was the version of if that came into her ears, and life in Eden came unraveled. Did God really say? That's the way it starts, right there. Doubting the word of God, his life-giving word. You can't see the hook for the bait. Wise no longer in the things of God, but in the ways and wisdom of this world, the lust of the flesh, food, the lust of the eye. It was a delight to look at, said Eve, and the pride of life, what anyone would want to be wise. Those were all her conclusions. Not one of them Satan's. It's the way she saw things after leaving that precious word of God. Nibble, nibble, hooked, dead to God. Having said all of that, can there be any doubt that things had to go just this way, as Luke recounts it, and so does Matthew, that immediately after his baptism, in other words, dripping wet with all the sins of the world now laid upon him, and with those precious words from God his Father, you are my beloved Son, with you, specifically you, I am well pleased. First stop then is the devil's playground, the barren, lifeless wilderness, exactly where you would expect to find the life-sucking, serpentined Satan. The trip was no accident. It had to be this way. This was going to be a redo of that event in the Garden of Eden that would lead to the undoing of sin, death, and the power of Satan. After all, you remember, power of sin is the law, and behind that law stands guilt when you break it, and the accusing voice of Satan. It gives us a guilty conscience. It's the Spirit's motivation and the Spirit's driving power. It's the deliberate desert redo heading toward the cross and the total undoing of Satan. He's undoing our own, your own, my own. You lose, sucker. After all, our parents, as Satan noted and Luke recorded, handed him all that power, willingly gave him that kind of influence and demonic reign. Freely, willingly, bait, switch, snap, dead, as in blind, dead, and enemies of God coming into this world. Jesus goes hunting for Satan. Bring it on. Bring it all on. And he didn't go there as the Almighty Son of God. He went there as the Son of Man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, flesh and blood, tempted, as Hebrews says, in every way as we are, yet without sin. And it had to be that he would, and that was included in that word, suffered in the creeds. He would suffer everything for us, even our temptations. And these are custom fit temptations. By the way, they always are. What tempts me doesn't necessarily tempt you. Some are general, like the commandments. Oh, but Satan isn't going to let that go. He will custom create everything just for you, just for me. Now, bread is good. The staff of life, we call it. Good as bread is, it's still bread. It's the stuff of this life. You consume it to sustain life all along, as with all the other necessities. Luther writes them off one after another. Goods, fame, child, and wife, as we sang, you know, shoes, clothing, house, home, children, family, and so on. All of it good on their own because you need them in this life, but there isn't a single thing, including bread itself, that sustains life itself, that will outlast this life. There's only one bread that will do that, and Jesus claimed that for himself. I am the bread that has come down from heaven to give life to the world. What kind of life? Eternal life. Life that will outlast this bread when you're lying there in the hospital during your last dying days and saying, I have no appetite at all, except for one thing, the bread that will outlast this life. Jesus Christ isn't here to serve himself and his appetites, but to feed the world. You live eternally when fed by the life-giving word of God. So you consume. And remember that Jesus had no appetite for the bait of bread. Try something else. I mean, Satan doesn't give up. As Luke relates, Satan, the devil, the old evil foe, offers something else to Jesus that was gifted to him by our parents from Eden. All the kingdoms of the world, their authority and glory. If you fall down on your face and worship me. That's bait and switch this way. First off, let's recognize it for what it is. That's the wisdom of the world that Eve fell for back in the garden. It's the kingdom, the power, and the glory to the gaudy bling and puny powers concocted from the imagination of mortal man. You can have it all. Just give me your soul while you're on your knees. Now, the thing about trying to keep the kingdom, the power, and the glory of this world is simple. You can't. Glory goes dark. Whatever you thought you had going for you ends at your grave. And that mighty arm of power that so many have wielded can't even lift the lid of the coffin that houses a rotting corpse. What kind of power is that? The only glory that can outlast any in this world is the one that Jesus refused to give up out of sheer love for you and me. He never lost his focus. That was our salvation, our redemption, our restoration, so that we could call God our Father and he could welcome us as his children, his sons and his daughters. The power Jesus had was the power to change our human heart. And in changing that heart, change the course of a life. It's the power that seeks the lost and finds them for God. Jesus Christ didn't take a thing from the world, but he gave us all he had for this world, so that the world might be saved through him, we read. That is lasting glory. And that's the kingdom worth living in. BTW. Right? Is that one of those shorthands when you're texting? By the way, BTW? Okay. Our frustrated, fussing foe offers Jesus the chance to take first place in the Appendectomy Award, Academy Awards for best stunt ever performed by a human being. Jump, survive, and your praises will thrive. Just to prove that, Satan knows his Bible, he quotes Psalm 91. Almost, but not quite. Not quite is not right when it comes to biblical quotations. It's true, God's angels will keep us in all our ways when the way you're going is God's way, and that was the neat little part he had clipped out of quoting that scriptures. And as Jesus says to us, our way is this way, I am the way. And he bids us to follow him by picking up our cross and walking the way of as he went. And then as for Jesus, his way was the way of sorrows that would lead to a dead end on a cursed cross. That was the end of his path in this life as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as Isaiah said. All of that which was ours and not his, but he chose that way for us and our salvation. And it was covered with the bright red glory of his blood for our salvation. And in that we draw our strength when the bait looks so good, we imagine that we can't possibly live life without it. Our strength is to be had in the word of God as a source, in worship, which is the exercise of that word, in the company of the saints, and in prayer, which is a hunger and a thirst for God at the prompt and direction of God's Spirit, leading us back into the path of God this way. Says Paul, no temptation has ever overtaken you that is not common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, my friends in Christ, I'm pretty sure the devil isn't going to give up on you or me. I know, he's on the hunt, and he has us in mind. And we are admonished, are we not, by Peter, be sober, that is, keep your head clear, and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling about. After all, it's always his hunting season, looking for someone to devour. Nibble, nibble. Snap, dead. Resist him, firm in your faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Most High, you are the dwelling place of your people. Be our refuge for the sake of Christ, who suffered temptation and death for our redemption. Preserve us from every evil and plague, and strengthen us in faith that we may be satisfied with your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all nations, you make no distinction between Jew and Greek. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Protect and provide for the missionaries of your church as they proclaim the word of faith and bring it near to all who will hear. so that more would confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that you raised him from the dead. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of all, you bestow your riches on all who call upon you. Bless parents with all wisdom as they teach their children your ways, that all in the household may confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, govern the kingdoms of this world according to your holy and gracious will. Protect authorities from every temptation of the devil, who falsely claims sovereignty over them all. Equip them to curb what is evil and promote what is good. Lord, in your mercy, God of all mercy, you answer those who call upon you. Hear our prayers for all people in need of healing and restoration, especially Shirley, Fred, Anita, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Lewis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Diane, Kara, Leah, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and Cookie. Be with them in their trouble and rescue them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, everyone who believes that Jesus is Lord will not be put to shame. Unite your people in a right confession of your word and free them from disagreement over your truth. Bring us with penitent hearts to receive the great riches of your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, as you brought your people to the promised land and gave them an inheritance of abundance, so you give us all that we have. Preserve us from greed. Grant us thankful hearts to declare your goodness and gladly support what you will. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks about as a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We implore you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Most Holy Spirit and strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy would not prevail over us, but instead that we may abide evermore in your grace and be preserved to life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we offer the blessing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We gather our offerings. Please be seated. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, for all that we have, is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. May we, thy bounties thus, as stewards true receive, and gladly, as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give. Amen. Continue with the service of the sacrament, page 208. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adore. Heaven and earth with full acclaim shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, All of you drink of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take this and eat, the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sins. And now drink this. Blood of Christ shed for you for the remission of your sins. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, flowing in your arteries and veins, will strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. You can depart in peace. Amen.
mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we pray.
You can eat.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.